Chapter 18. Thursday, June 2nd. Berger's mobile was ringing. It was 9:05.
Good morning, Fru Berger. Dragan Armansky. I understand you called last night.
Berger explained what had happened and asked whether Milton Security could take over the contract from Nucker Integrated Protection.
We can certainly install an alarm that will work, Armansky said. The problem is that the closest car we have at night is in Nucker Center. Response time would be about 30 minutes. If we took the job, I'd have to subcontract out your house. We have an agreement with a local security company, Adam Security in Fisksetra, which has a response time of 10 minutes if all goes as it should.
That would be an improvement over NIP, which doesn't bother to turn up at all.
Adam Security is a family-owned business, a father, two sons, and a couple of cousins. Greeks, good people. I've known the father for many years. They handle coverage about 320 days a year. They tell us in advance the days they aren't available because of holidays or something else, and then our car in Naka takes over.
That works for me.
I'll be sending a man out this morning. His name is David Rosin, and in fact he's already on his way. He's going to do a security assessment. He needs your keys if you're not going to be home, and he needs your authorization to do a thorough examination of your house from top to bottom. He's going to take pictures of the entire property and the immediate surroundings.
All right.
Rosin has a lot of experience, and we'll make you a proposal. We'll have a complete security plan ready in a few days, which will include a personal attack alarm, fire security, evacuation plan, and break-in protection.
Okay.
If anything should happen, we also want you to know what to do in the 10 minutes before the car arrives from Fisksetra.
Sounds good.
We'll install the alarm this afternoon, then we'll have to sign a contract.
Only after she had finished her conversation with Armansky did Berger realize that she had overslept. She called Fredrickson and explained that she had hurt herself. He would have to cancel the 10 o'clock.
What's happened? He said.
I cut my foot, Berger said. I'll hobble in as soon as I've pulled myself together. She used the toilet in the master bathroom and then pulled on some black pants and borrowed one of Gregor's slippers for her injured foot. She chose a black blouse and put on a jacket. Before she removed the doorstop from the bedroom door, she armed herself with a canister of mace. She made her way cautiously through the house and switched on the coffee maker. She had her breakfast at the breakfast table, listening for sounds in the vicinity. She had just poured a second cup of coffee when there was a firm knock on the front door. It was David Rosin from Milton Security. Figueroa walked to Bergsgarten and summoned her four colleagues for an early morning conference.
"We have a deadline now," she said. "Our work has to be done by July 13th, the day the Salander trial begins. We have just under 6 weeks. Let's agree on what's most important right now. Who wants to go first?"
Berglund cleared his throat.
"That blonde man with Mortensen. Who is he?"
"We have photographs, but no idea how to find him. We can't put out an APB.
"What about Goldberg, then? There must be a story to track down there. We have him in the security police from the early 50s to 1964, when SIS was founded. Then he vanishes."
Figueroa nodded.
"Should we conclude that the Zalachenko Club was an association formed in 1964? That will be some time before Zalachenko even came to Sweden."
"There must have been some other purpose, a secret organization within the organization."
"That was after Stig Wennerström. Everyone was paranoid."
"A sort of secret spy police?"
"There are, in fact, parallels overseas. In the States, a special group of internal spy chasers was created within the CIA in the 50s. It was led by a James Jesus Angleton, and it very nearly sabotaged the entire CIA. Angleton's gang were as fanatical as they were paranoid. They suspected everyone in the CIA of being a Russian agent. As a result, the agency's effectiveness in large areas was paralyzed."
"But that's all speculation.
Where are the old personnel files kept?"
"Goldberg isn't in them. I've checked."
"And what about a budget? An operation like this has to be financed."
The discussion went on until lunchtime, when Figueroa excused herself and went to the gym for some peace, to think things over. Berger did not arrive in the newsroom until lunchtime. Her foot was hurting so badly that she could not put any weight on it. She hobbled over to her glass cage and sank into her chair with relief. Fredrickson looked up from his desk and she waved him in.
"What happened?" he said. "I stepped on a piece of glass and a shard lodged in my heel."
"That wasn't so good."
"No, it wasn't good. Peter, has anyone received any more weird emails?" Not that I've heard. Keep your ears open. I want to know if anything odd happens around SMP.
What sort of odd?
I'm afraid some idiot is sending really vile emails, and he seems to have targeted me. So I want to know if you hear of anything going on.
The type of email Eva Carlson got.
Right. But anything strange at all. I've had a whole string of crazy emails accusing me of being all kinds of things, and suggesting various perverse things that ought to be done to me.
Fredrickson's expression darkened.
How long has this been going on?
A couple of weeks. Keep your eyes peeled. So tell me, what's going to be in the paper tomorrow?
Well,
what?
Holm and the head of the legal section are on the warpath.
Why is that?
Because of Frisk. You extended his contract and gave him a feature assignment, and he won't tell anybody what it's about.
He is forbidden to talk about it. My orders.
That's what he says, which means that Holm and the legal editor are up in arms.
I can see that they might be. Set up a meeting with legal at 3. I'll explain the situation.
Holm is not pleased.
I'm not pleased with Holm, either. So we're even.
He's so upset that he's complained to the board.
Berger looked up.
Damn it. I'm going to have to face up to the Borgshire problem.
Borgshire is coming in this afternoon and wants a meeting with you. I suspect it's Holm's doing.
What time?
2 o'clock, said Fredrickson.
And he went back to his desk to write the midday memo. Jonasson visited Salander during her lunch. She pushed away a plate of the hospital's vegetable stew. As always, he did a brief examination of her, but she noticed that he was no longer putting much effort into it.
You've recovered nicely, he said.
You'll have to do something about the food at this place.
What about it?
Couldn't you get me a pizza?
Sorry. Way beyond the budget.
I was afraid of that.
Elizabeth, we're going to have a discussion about the state of your health tomorrow.
Understood. And I've recovered nicely.
You're now well enough to be moved to Kronoberg Prison. I might be able to postpone the move for another week, but my colleagues are going to start wondering.
You don't need to do that.
Are you sure?
She nodded.
I'm ready, and it had to happen sooner or later.
I'll give the go-ahead tomorrow, then, Jonasson said. You'll probably be transferred pretty soon.
She nodded.
It might be as early as this weekend. The hospital administration doesn't want you here.
Who could blame them?
That device of yours.
I'll leave it in the recess behind the table here, she pointed.
Good idea.
They sat in silence for a moment before Jonasson stood up.
I have to check on my other patients.
Thanks for everything. I owe you one.
Just doing my job.
No, you've done a great deal more. I won't forget it.